Continuing Father's Week here on Now I've Heard Everything, today a very moving story of a father and a son caught up in an unpopular war with an unexpected and poignant outcome. In wartime, there are seldom good options, usually just lesser of bad options. In the 1960s, U.S. forces in Vietnam used the defoliant known as Agent Orange in an effort to make it harder for enemy forces to hide in the jungle. Agent Orange was very effective and, it turns out, very deadly for hundreds of U.S. troops who were exposed to it. In the late 60s, the commander of naval forces in Vietnam was Admiral Elmo Zumwalt Jr. His son, Elmo Zumwalt III, was in the Navy and was among those exposed to the Agent Orange that his father had ordered. Perhaps as a result of that exposure, the younger Zumwalt developed cancer. The two of them, father and son, wrote a book together in 1986, and that's when I met them.
Both Elmo and I agreed that the primary purpose for doing the book was to have some impact on showing what love and support could do in a crisis, both in war and in a battle against cancer, and that if we were going to have that impact, we had to be completely open and frank about our feelings.
Admiral, you say that you don't regret the decision to spray Agent Orange because it saved so many lives. Yet I'm sure people will sympathize with the pain that you must be feeling when you hear about the cancers and the birth defects that result from Agent Orange.
Yes, and there is pain. The decision on the use of Agent Orange is not unlike most decisions in war, which are the least worst alternatives. You drop bombs very close to your own front lines in order to prevent them from being overrun, and you kill some of your own people to save a larger number. Similarly with naval gunfire, so it was with Agent Orange. We saved thousands, even though we are, in the long run, probably going to lose hundreds of those thousands.
It's sort of allegorical to cancer treatment. You take risks. You risk killing healthy cells to attack the cancer. There's a great deal of risk involved.
It's a very good parallel.
Likewise, Elmo, you said that the spraying of Agent Orange was, in your mind, a perfectly justifiable condition. To this day, you don't argue with the decision.
And no question about it. Having been a combat river patrol veteran, I was in rivers and canals that were so narrow that we couldn't turn a 55-foot boat around in them, and I was in some of those before defoliation and in it afterwards, and the difference was remarkable, the difference of taking fire from a few feet away versus thousands of yards away made a real difference in being able to handle the firefights.
There's probably a good chance you wouldn't even be sitting here today if Agent Orange hadn't been sprayed.
I believe that that's clearly the case.
What is there today that frightens you, if anything?
Well, I've certainly felt fear in my life. I felt it in a very real and graphic way in Vietnam. The unpredictability of when there would be a firefight, the uncertainty of knowing when somebody might be killed or wounded, the agonizing, terrifying battles that went on. It was something that I think everyone felt in such a way that they felt fear. Interestingly enough, in the bone marrow transplant, although that was the most physically agonizing thing that has ever happened to me in my life, Vietnam still is the most emotionally agonizing thing that's ever happened to me, and I really didn't feel fear in the transplant environment, and I'm not sure why that's the case, because both in Vietnam and both in the transplant and in the transplant case, I did not think that my time had come. My attitude was is that I was getting through each one of those events, but I'm not afraid to be afraid. I don't think anyone should fear itself. It's just something to handle the best you can when it seizes you.
I think Elmo's example of courage has been the ability to face up to his fear.
It strikes me that it would have been so easy for lesser men to blame each other. you to blame your son for wanting to come to Vietnam in the first place. What a crazy decision that was. You to blame your dad for spraying the thing that has given you cancer. Yet both of you have put that behind you. You're fighting this thing together. How can you do that?
Well, I think that the most important lesson that a cancer patient can learn is to recognize that you're fighting something that may very well be bigger than you, and that marshaling your forces and fighting it in the most effective manner that you can is essential. You need to get on with the fighting the battle. You may be victorious. If not, you're certainly going to weather it better than any other way that you can handle it. And I don't care how tenacious an individual is, as I bring out in My Father, My Son, unless you have a close family and friends that love and support you, it's going to probably be impossible to make it. And I think that all of us should recognize that we'll be from time to time called for that kind of love and support and readily give it to people who are in harm's way.
Let's say we're back in 1968 and you've got it to do over again. Is there anything that either of you would do differently than what you did?
Well, I guess the first point I would make is that I would fight even more strongly than I did before to have kept us out of that war. I was opposed to our getting into it. And I guess, second, having gotten into that war, I would fight even more strongly to have it come out right. As you know from what we say in the book, we believe that we had won the war in Vietnam and lost it back here through the combination of Mr. Nixon's loss of the capacity to govern and the manipulation that the Viet Cong in Hanoi were able to bring about in our own population. I think it's important to report that that book, My Father, My Son, was written in Elmo's part on the chemotherapy table because he was unwilling to take family time to do it and unwilling to do it at the expense of his law practice, being unfair to his law partners. And so we put the tape recorder on the table and talked until he became nauseated or fell asleep for over a year's period of time, and continued it when he was in the air bubble in Seattle. I think a tremendous demonstration of courage.
I believe that My Father, My Son demonstrates that deep feelings in this day and age, whether it's the camaraderie and brotherhood of a crew fighting a war in Vietnam, or whether it's the love and support that a family and friends gives a terminal patient, can make a difference, and that the way a person should proceed in facing the battle of cancer is demonstrated by My Father, My Son.
Less than 2 years after our conversation, Elmo Zumwalt III died at the age of 42. Admiral Zumwalt passed away in 2000 at the age of 79. And the U.S. Navy named a guided missile destroyer program the Zumwalt class in his honor. I'm Bill Thompson, and Now I've Heard Everything.